Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, and I hope you'll be able to stick with us and even join in the conversation. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you tonight. Our telephone lines are open. You can give us a call toll-free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'd love to get you on the air tonight with your question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. Let's go ahead and open our program tonight with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to thank you again for the opportunity to come together here this evening. Pray that you bless the program. Use it for your glory tonight. We thank you for the opportunity. Help us to be a blessing. Help us to be an encouragement to somebody tonight and help us to point people to Christ. We thank you for it, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, it's good to be with you tonight. It's hard to believe that it's only about 12 days or so until Christmas time. We were just talking about that at church today, talked about it at our nursing home service. I said it was just under 2 weeks. In fact, it's 2 weeks from 2 days ago. How's that for being confusing? 2 weeks from 2 days ago. But it's coming up on us fast. And if you're here in certain parts of the country, and particularly the eastern half of the United States, we are getting some unseasonably warm weather, and it's thanks to an El Nino that's taking place out in the Pacific, and that warming has altered the jet stream in parts of Alaska and the Pacific Northwest, I guess, have had quite a bit of cold and things, but it's caused the jet stream to dip and then curve back up, pulling some of that warm air from the I guess around the Gulf of Mexico and stuff up into the eastern United States, and it's warmed things up nicely. I think it's the first time I've ever had to open the windows in my house on 2 weeks before Christmas. It just seemed almost unreal here in northeastern Ohio. Now, if you live in Florida or if you live in the Carolinas or something, that might not be such a bad thing at this time of year. But here in northeast Ohio, you don't typically have your windows open at this time of year. And at this time of year, there's a Cuyahoga Valley National Park, which is not too far from where I'm sitting right now. They've got some areas in there where they have ski slopes, and certainly nothing like out in Colorado or someplace like that. But they were at the ski slopes today, showing how they're just covered with grass rather than snow like they were a year ago. A year ago, the skiers were happy going up down on the slopes, but to this year, it's just people out hiking and jogging through the park. So, but it'll change. Don't worry about that. If you're in northeast Ohio, it'll change. We've got cold weather coming, I guess, by next week. They say a chance of snow. And see, if I had my perfect desire, it would snow the week before Christmas, stay nice and cold and snowy until about the end of January, and then start warming up for spring and have a nice long spring where we can enjoy those spring flowers. But unfortunately, it doesn't quite work that way around here. Last year, I remember it got cold and it got colder, and then it got colder still. I remember at our house, we got down to, I believe it was the coldest that we got down to last year in I think it was February or March, we got down to 24 degrees below zero. That's cold. And it didn't warm up very fast either. I remember it was cold all the way into practically June last year. And sometimes it goes that way. Kind of somebody pointed out that the average temperature is merely in between two extremes. And so if you think about it that way, 50 is the average between both 45 and 55. It's also the average between 0 and 100. So it's just the average between two extremes, or the midpoint between two extremes, I guess you can say. Well, we're glad to have you with us. If you're in an area where you can look out in the sky tonight, I believe it's the Gemini meteors are visible if you're somewhere where you can see them. And if you're here in northeastern Ohio, well, you're not going to see them as the clouds are so thick right now that you really can't see any stars or anything, let alone the meteors. But if you get a chance and you're out there, maybe after the program, get a chance to go outside if you're in still got some nice temperatures and the sky is clear where you're at. Go out and look up in the sky, and maybe you'll see some of the Gemini meteor shower there tonight. Well, it's really rather interesting to see these things remind us of the incredible magnitude of God's creation. You know, God created the heavens and the earth and all that's in them. And we sometimes forget that. It's something that we need to remember. I've talked with people and they want to limit God to merely this, you know, this universe, this creation. And we have to remember that God is not a function of the universe. The universe does not contain God. The universe is a function of God, and God contains the universe. The universe and all that we see when we look up in the night sky and the most powerful telescopes and even beyond all of that that we can't see, all of that is contained within God. God created it all. And even the place where the angels dwell, the spiritual heaven, that's not God's dwelling place. That's within God, if you think about it, because God transcends heaven and earth. Heaven and earth are contained within him. He created it. And a lot of times people want to limit God. They think that somehow or another, as vast as the universe is, well, God's limited to it in some fashion as well, but he's not. He's not limited by the universe. He contains it. He transcends the universe. He's far in a way beyond anything that we could imagine. And yet that God that created heaven and earth, that God that keeps heaven and earth functioning, desires to have a relationship with us. And as we approach the Christmas holiday, that's a time of the year that we celebrate, we remember the God that created and sustains the heavens and the earth wants to have a relationship with each one of us, a personal relationship with us. It's almost mind-boggling to think of that God wants to have a personal relationship with us. And he made it possible by allowing or by taking on the form of a man and being born. I saw a thing on the internet this past week. It showed a picture of a manger with some hay in it, and it had a sign that said the first king size bed, and talking about how the King of Glory, the Lord Jesus Christ, came down from heaven, and he found that, or I mean, he laid in that manger, that first king size bed. What a wonderful thing! But again, take time to celebrate the birth of Christ this year. I know we get caught up in the parties, we get caught up in the gift giving and the tree trimming and all this sort of thing, and it's enjoyable to spend time with family and friends, but we lose track of the real meaning of Christmas. And let me invite you, if you're in the area, if you're in northeastern Ohio, if you're in the Akron, Cleveland area, somewhere around there, our church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, and we're going to have a special Christmas Eve candlelight service on Christmas Eve. That's Thursday, December 24th at 7 o'clock in the evening. And if you don't have anything else going on, you want to take some time just to get away from the hustle and bustle of all the shopping and the decorating and all the stuff going on, and just want to take a little hustle and bustle, or I mean a little I'm trying to say respite from that, I think, reprieve from that. What am I? A little relief from that, a little rest. Maybe that's the R word that I'm trying to get at here. But you can come out and visit us. We'd love to have you visit with us for our Christmas Eve candlelight service. Like I said, we'll start at 7 o'clock. We'll sing some Christmas carols. And we've got some special music by some of the different people and different things going on. And then after we sing some songs and listen, and I'll be reading a booklet that I put together many years ago called The Birth of Christ According to the Scriptures. And we read through that. It simply takes passages of from the various Gospels, from Old Testament, from other New Testament books, and it puts together in one continuous narrative, just simply using Bible verses, no added commentary, no added words, just simply verses from and passages from the Bible to go through the birth of Christ from some of the prophecies all the way through his birth and his early childhood. And we read that every year. We read that on the air generally on the Sunday nearest to Christmas. But this year, our Friday program, for those of you who listen to our Friday program, I'll be reading that for our Friday program this year because it'll be on Christmas Day itself. So that's when we'll be doing that. You can find that program at our website, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. I'll get that up on there. And also, if you go to our website at livewithpastoral.com, there's a link there where you can follow, where you can get a free ebook of the birth of Christ, and you can get that yourself. You can print it off. You can use it for your family this Christmas. It's a great thing. If you can't join with us at our Christmas Eve candlelight service, you can do this at home yourself. Some people like to gather their family together at Christmas night, read something from the Bible. Usually they read Luke or something like that, Luke's gospel. But this covers so much more than just Luke's gospel. It doesn't take long, 20-some minutes probably to read through it. And like I said, we'll also be reading that at our Christmas Eve candlelight service. And again, that'll be Christmas Eve, 7 p.m. at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. And that's located at 5171 Brecksville Road. That's 5171 Brecksville Road, located in Richfield, Ohio. And if you're in the area, we are located almost exactly midway between Akron and Cleveland, right where Interstate 80, which is the Ohio Turnpike, crosses Interstate 71 at 5171 Brecksville Road. And we'd love to have you there. And that'll be 7 o'clock this Christmas Eve. And, of course, we have a Bible study there every Friday night from 7 till 9 in the evening. It's an informal Bible study. Talk about anything and everything, just like we do on the program. And then our church services are held there as well every Sunday. And I certainly invite you, if you're in Northeast Ohio, come out and visit us there for our church services. We have Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. We've been going through a study of the temple lately, and then at 11, that's our Bible study at 10. Then Sunday morning at 11 o'clock, we have our morning service. I'm currently preaching through the book of Acts, and then Sunday evening at 6 p.m., I'm currently preaching through the book of Psalms. And if you can make it, we'd love to have you. If you can't make it and you want to watch the service online, again, if you go to our website, livewithpastoral.com, you can find a link there to our Ustream broadcast. And in addition to a link to our Ustream broadcast, there's links to the church website, links to our Facebook page. I encourage you to follow those links. Check us out on Facebook. Like us on Facebook if you get the chance. And we try to keep some things up on Facebook from time to time. And then, of course, on our website, we try to get our programs up there when we can to make them available. You can download them. You can listen to them online, however you would like to. Past programs, and we've got some special things on there you can listen to as well. So I encourage you to check that out, livewithpastoral.com. Well, again, as I said, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight, toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. If you've got a question, we'd love to hear from you tonight. And also, from time to time, we've got some people that mail in some questions or even email some questions on occasion. And I had a question from somebody listening in Florida, and we get people who are listening who sometimes are unable to go to church on their own because they're either perhaps in a hospital setting, or perhaps they're homebound in some fashion, or any number of reasons that they can't listen, and we'll get responses from people every once in a while, and we enjoy hearing from you. I'm not the greatest correspondent in the world, I'll readily admit that, but we did have a question that was sent in from a listener in Florida asking about a passage in the Old Testament. And actually, I had just gotten the letter today, so I was trying to try and find some information out on this. And they had thought of a passage that they had remembered seeing somewhere in the Old Testament. And I think they said in their letter they thought that it might be in Isaiah somewhere, dealing with, I guess you could apply it to the political situation here today. And I found a passage here in Isaiah chapter 32. And let me just start reading here in verse number, we'll start reading in verse number 4. It says, "The heart also of the rash shall understand knowledge, and the tongue of the stammerers shall be ready to speak plainly. The vile person shall be no more called liberal, nor the churl said to be bountiful. For the vile person will speak violently, and his heart will work iniquity to practice hypocrisy and to utter error against the Lord, to make empty the soul of the hungry, and he will cause the drink of the thirsty to fail. The instruments also of the churl are evil. He deviseth wicked devices to destroy the poor with lying words, even when the needy speak right. But the liberal deviseth liberal things, and by liberal things shall he stand." And it's kind of an interesting passage because if I understood the question correctly, our writer was asking, could this be considered a description of liberals today? We see the term liberal in the Bible here, and we see it here in this passage in Isaiah, but the word liberal here in Isaiah is used actually a little bit differently. In verse number 8 there, it says, "But the liberal deviseth liberal things, and by liberal things shall he stand." The liberal here in Isaiah 32 verse 8 is the person who is generous and noble, which would be the antithesis to some of our politicians today. Politicians, you know, routinely get vilified as being greedy and ignoble, untruthful, selfish, and out for themselves oftentimes. And I think what our writer was asking about, when we look at some of these verses before that, they're contrasted with the person who is of a generous and noble outlook in their life, who are concerned with the welfare for others. And you can see how, if you look at the origin of the word liberal, this is where it came from. People who were liberal would have been thought of as being this way, but like everything, definitions change. And there are a lot of people who look at liberal and leftist as being synonymous today, and they really are different. There are some differences between leftism and liberal, but often I think what our writer was asking about was thinking about the description here in verses 4, 5 and 6, where it was talking about the heart also of the rash shall understand knowledge, and the tongue of the stammerer shall be ready to speak plainly. The vile person shall be no more called liberal, nor the churl said to be bountiful. And of course, a vile person would be somebody who's morally evil or wicked, depraved, sinful in that sense. And the churl, C-H-U-R-L, would be what we would consider a rude or coarse person, a person that's, you know, I guess you could call them somewhat mean or a very disagreeable sort of a person there. And this is the type of a person that's condemned, as opposed to the liberal, who is of a more outgoing concern for others in that respect. The vile person, he says here in verse number 5, will no more be called liberal. They'll be shown for what they are. And we have people who do, on the face, try to champion the other people, and they and they ride that into a political career. But in reality, they're out for self. And when push comes to shove, they'll sacrifice anything and everybody around them in order to advance their self and their own selfish interests. And he says here in verse 6, for the vile person will speak villainy and his heart will work iniquity to practice hypocrisy. And that does sound like a pretty good description of a lot of our politicians today. They speak villainy. Their hearts work iniquity. They practice hypocrisy. And of course, we're acquainted with hypocrites, people who on the face try to pretend that they're good, that they're righteous, that they're out for you to be helpful or whatever you want to say, but in reality they're not. They put up a false front, and it says, and to utter error against the Lord, to make empty the soul of the hungry, and he will cause the drink of the thirsty to fail. And that's because these people are not out to help people. These people are out to help themselves. And the instruments, he says, of the churl in verse 7 are evil. He deviseth wicked devices to destroy the poor with lying words, even when the needy speaketh right. And they'll take advantage of the poor. They'll take advantage of those that are in need and use them for their own purposes, as contrasted with the liberal in verse 8. And again, this does not apply to the liberal and the conservative political divide that we see today. In fact, it is kind of interesting that oftentimes, if you look at these positions today, we see people that want to help people and end up hurting them, or at least they claim they want to help them, and they end up hurting them. And I'll admit my bias right here myself. I'm of a conservative political outlook, and I think it's better to help somebody by giving them the means that they can use to improve their life rather than just giving them handouts. I think you want to give people hand-ups rather than handouts, and I think that's what God wants us to do. And so I think that we need to be busy trying to help those in need, not using them for our own selfish interests and to make ourselves look good. Well, probably enough of that right there. We'll touch on some other things perhaps with that, but I was going to give out the phone numbers there. Thought I had a caller calling in there for a moment, but we can take your call tonight at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. They're not coming on the air. All right, so we'll just move on from that back into some things here in the Bible. We need to be aware of the world in which we live. We need to be wise as serpents, the Bible says, and harmless as doves, trying to advance the Lord's work in the world today. So let me get back onto some other things here. And I wanted to mention two here tonight that we're going to touch on probably this week and next week, Lord willing, as we come up to Christmas time, some questions surrounding Christmas. And there's things that come up every year, and I thought we would take some of these and take a look at them. There are some things that we take for granted at Christmas time as we celebrate Christmas. There are some things that sometimes gets spoken of as if it's the gospel truth. Sometimes things that we think are in the Bible but aren't necessarily there. And so we might touch on some of them. And I was going to touch on one here, and that's that I've heard this before, talking about December 25th. Now, I will readily admit that many times in the past, I had been fairly convinced that December 25th was probably not the day that Jesus was born. However, there is some case that can be made for December 25th, or about that time being the date of the birth of Christ. And when we look at this, one of the things that people use as an objection to December 25th is that it was based on the Zoroastrian religion, and it was the Mithraic feast day. And Mithra was a Persian version of the Hindu sun god Mitra. And Mitra was the god of light, and his feast was celebrated each year on December 25th. And you'll find in a lot of cultures that at that time, because it's just within a few days after the longest day of the year, where the longest night of the year, and there'll be festivals that we're celebrating, a lot of primitive cultures, pagan cultures, I should say, that they were concerned that the light was failing, and they wanted to be able to encourage or strengthen the sun god in some fashion, and there would be some kind of celebrations that would take place, very common in many cultures. And so the idea was that the Roman Catholic Church placed the birth of Christ on December 25th in order to compete with these pagan celebrations, and in particular the Mithra celebration that was widespread amongst the soldiers of the Roman Empire at that time. Well, part of the thing is that the whole thing of Mithra and the Zoroastrians, while it's usually said to predate Christianity, all the evidence of the origins of Zoroastrianism seem to indicate that that actually came after Christianity. And the first recorded celebration of Christmas on December 25th took place in the Roman Empire, took place in 336 AD, about 22 years after the Roman Empire embraced Christianity as its official religion. And there wasn't really a whole lot of question there about that, and it was just kind of added in at that time. But when we look at this, we understand that the Hebrew religious year, and we may run short on time here in this break and continue this on the second half of the program here, because I know we're coming up on the break, but the Hebrew religious year begins with the month Nisan, and there's 354 days instead of 365 days in the Hebrew calendar, because it's tied in with the phases of the moon rather than the sun. It's a lunar calendar, and so it doesn't exactly line up with ours. So we'll pick this up on the second half of the break. We've got another half hour to go. Stay tuned and join us for our second half. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield, where the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show's been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. We'll be with you until midnight tonight, and we got our telephone lines open, 888-677-9673. I've got a wandering microphone here tonight. I turn the microphone towards me, and then I look away, and it's turning away from me. It's one of those things you have to deal with sometimes. It's kind of looks disconcerting when you're looking off to the side and you see something moving, but that's okay. I think we've survived worse in the past, so I think we'll survive a wandering microphone here tonight. Just kind of threw me there for a minute. But just wanted to mention again, of course, we're brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church, as you heard, in Richfield, Ohio, where I'm the pastor. I invite you to visit us there. Check us out at livewithpastoral.com. You can find out more information. And you can also link from Live with Pastor Al to East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, Ohio, at their new website, which is East Coast Pizza. GarfieldHeights.com. That's East Coast Pizza, GarfieldHeights.com. And you can find out about them. They are located at 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. If you call East Coast Pizza for pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100, that's 216-341-9100. If you mention Live with Pastor Al, you can get a medium one-topping pizza for just $5. And also, you may be out of the area and not able to visit East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights on Turney Road there. But if you're interested in opening your own pizza shop or adding pizza to your existing restaurant, and you are scared off by the high franchise fees, why don't you give East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights a call at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100, and ask for Gus. He can help you get started in your own pizza business for a whole lot less than what you might think possible. Well, we're going to get back into our program here. And again, if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you tonight. Got a couple people lined up here real quick, and we'll get back to our look at December 25th and whether or not Jesus was born on that day in just a moment. But Jeremiah is patiently waiting there, has a scripture for us tonight, I believe. Jeremiah, welcome to the program.
Yes, you're talking about your microphone. Maybe the microphone is flying. Make sure it doesn't hit you.
Well, it was drifting away from me. I was trying to go one way to look at something, and I looked over, and my microphone was drifting the other way. So I guess that's better than running into me.
Maybe hallucinating.
Yeah. Welcome to the program tonight, Jeremiah.
Yes, you're talking about Jesus being born on Christmas. Mm-hmm. My brother sent me a text message saying that at Christmas, he says he believes in God, but he does another thing. And I pray for him. And he says that Jesus wasn't born on Christmas.
And there's a lot of people who believe that. And we're going to discuss that a little bit more here in a little more depth in a few minutes.
And my scripture I was going to read is the book of Jeremiah, verse. My mother named me after the prophet, out of the Bible, Jeremiah, because she has it written in her Bible. I have her Bible still. It's kind of old, but it's still in good condition.
Oh, good. That's good to have.
The verse I'm reading is chapter 1, verse 5. It says, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before comest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and obtained thee a prophet unto the nation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Basically, God knew Jeremiah before he was born.
Yeah. Well, and another thing that tells us is that God has a plan for us before we're even born, just like he did for Jeremiah.
And he has a plan for my life, too.
Exactly, and for each person listening, before each person listening, including you and I, before we were born, God had already decided a plan for our life. There was something he wanted us to do, and fortunately, Jeremiah was able to find out what God wanted him to do. And
he was a weeping prophet.
Yeah, and God used him greatly. I mean, it's a lot of, we'd love to be able to preside over things getting better and better, but in Jeremiah's ministry, they went from having some revivals that had come during the days of Josiah, a good king, and finally culminating in a series of disastrous kings that caused the people to sin and then caused God to come in with judgment and bring in the Babylonians and even to use Nebuchadnezzar as his servant to bring judgment upon the Jewish people and took them out of the land into captivity and destroyed the temple.
Speaking of born again, you know, I've been born again for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
And after my mother died, I needed to, you know, change some things, perspectives in my life. And when I was a teenager, I went to church. When I was a teenager, my mom had me go to church. So I knew she read the Bible because she read the Bible and outlined verses when I was a teenager growing up. And I seen her read it. I never asked questions, but I assumed that she
mm-hmm.
you know, believed in God. Like I said, I still have her Bible, so she outlined verses. I don't like writing my Bible. I just don't like doing that.
Well, and it's something that people can do sometimes is I have a Bible that I don't write in, and I use it just for reading. And the reason I like it that way is because I find the Bible that I have in front of me where I've got a lot of notes and stuff and little explanatory things and cross-references that I jot down in the margins. If I'm just reading, that gets distracting to me. But when I just want to sit and read the Bible, I have one that I have that has no markings in it because I like that because it's clean text. I just get to read it, and I don't get distracted by my own notes.
Yeah, I like the King James Bible.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I recommend that as well to people.
Sorry.
Oh, go ahead.
The next verse is out of Matthew chapter 1, verse 23.
Mm-hmm.
It says that it's a prophet. It's a prophecy that was fulfilled. Behold, a virgin shall be with a child, and shall bring forth a son, and he shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us.
I'm sorry, I missed the last thing you said.
It says that behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, mm-hmm. and he shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us.
Right. Right, and that, of course, is a fulfillment of the prophecy. So, yeah, and hopefully over the course of the next few weeks, we'll talk about some more of these things as well.
His other name is Jehovah, too.
Mm-hmm.
That's another name.
Yeah, so, yeah. It's very clear from the Bible that Jesus is Jehovah, born in the flesh. God took on flesh and dwelt among us. That's an amazing, amazing miracle.
I'm going to continue listening to your program. God bless.
Well, thank you. I appreciate the call tonight, Jeremiah. God bless. Thank you for calling. And again, you can give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. And we'll go from Jeremiah in Cleveland, Ohio, to Dave in Florida. And Dave, welcome to the program tonight.
Hello, Pastor.
Hello, Dave.
Can you hear me?
I hear you well. Loud
Good
and clear.
To hear. Good to hear you again.
Yeah.
I was calling about the Advent season. There's a
yes, the Advent season.
There talk about Advent, and others don't. And I was sharing the Advent season with a few churches, and it seems to be kind of wonderful to get your heart and your mind and your life ready for the blessed event of the child of God coming to earth.
Well, and I understand the principle there, and of course, in our church, we don't have anything special in regards to Advent like some churches do. I mean, I pastor an independent Baptist church, but at the same time, we do accomplish some of the things that would be in there because, it's just like what we're doing with the program tonight. We're trying to encourage people to consider the fact that, God took flesh and dwelt among us and to think about that at this time of year rather than just simply get caught up with all of the events and the parties and the decorating and the presents and et cetera, et cetera. We need to remember, as my wife has a pin that says, Jesus is the reason for the season. And so my understanding is that's a lot of what the Advent calendars and things like that you see try to encourage people to remember, to count down to the time that Christ was born.
Yes, sir. And then with all the music and all the spirit, just pretty giving. it's a wonderful spirit because it's not a spirit what generally happens the rest of the year, you know, that giving spirit. And that kind of opens up their heart to the message.
Well, and you're absolutely true because, and that's what we should be doing in our churches is doing what we can to open up hearts of people. And I know some people that they don't want to celebrate Christmas. They think that it's wrong to celebrate Christmas. And you know, they have the liberty in Christ to do that. But at the same time, I always look at it as this is a time of year when a lot of people are willing to go to church. This is a time of year when a lot of people are willing to consider the idea that a baby was born into this world that changed the whole course of history. And so that makes it a tremendous opportunity. Like I was saying earlier, whether Jesus was born on December 25th or not, it's a tremendous time of year to be able to point people to Christ, to get people into church, to get people into the Bible, and to reach people with the gospel message, because that's the main reason that Jesus was born. Not so that we have an excuse to give gifts and have parties, but so that he could come into the world to do what we couldn't do, live a perfect, holy life without sin, and then purchase our salvation with his own blood upon the cross when he died for us. And
if we could, you know, during this Advent season, as it's called, you know, in one way, just try to keep all the negative understandings out of it and just try to celebrate the birth of the Savior.
Well, and talk about it and encourage people and point people to Christ. You're right. So,
and totally take the negative out. You know, if you want the negative, go ahead and use it the rest of the 11 months and talk about it after the season. But try to keep the negative out. And to me, to keep the negative out, a key verse is Philippians 4:8. You know, whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report, if there be any virtue or praise, think on these things. Think of the good things. Think of what God has done at this time.
Yeah.
You know, if it is not this time, but just let's make it this time for just this time.
Well, and again, I'll give some more information here after your call as well, talking about the birth of Christ. And, you know, I've reviewed this over the past couple of years. I've read some things, and I really do now find myself feeling more convinced that if it wasn't the date of December 25th exactly, it's probably around this time. And if you know people who go to Orthodox churches, Orthodox Christmas comes in January. And part of that is because we changed the calendars back in the, I want to say the late 1700s. In it, they added a certain number of days to the calendar because it had gotten out of sync, and they did that to bring it back in sync with the seasons. And so some people, for instance, the Orthodox churches kept celebrating Christmas at one time of year, and then other people went to another time of the year. And so we'll talk about that a little bit more there, David, but appreciate the call tonight.
Hey, and also, all right, well, I mean, you're going to hang up then?
Oh, I thought we were there. I have another caller coming in as well, so.
That'll be fine.
But
once again, just remember this is the season to be grateful.
Mm-hmm.
For everything God has done for us. And if we can be grateful, we'll be less the other.
Yeah.
Have a good night.
All right. Well, thank you, David. Appreciate that. And we all should keep a positive outlook towards things around us and look to see what God is doing to bless us. And this is a tremendous time of the year. And I'm going to get to another caller in just a moment, but I wanted to mention this real quick here, and I'll go through something here that talks about how the Hebrew religious calendar begins with the month of Nisan, and there's a pattern established by King David. I won't go through all the verses, but you can see it in 1 Chronicles 24, where the descendants of Aaron were divided up by King David into 24 groups to serve as roles of governors of the sanctuary and governors of the house of God. And each group of priests would serve according to a schedule drawn up, they would serve during a pattern over the course of the time. There's a family called the family of Abijah in 1 Chronicles 24:10 that was assigned the eighth course. And that meant that Abijah and his descendants would serve in the temple in the eighth month. Now, Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist, was a direct descendant of Abijah. And in Luke chapter 1, where it talks about Zacharias serving in the course of Abiah, which is Abijah, there in verse 5, we see that he would have been serving in the eighth month. Now, when we look at this, and to me, this is probably one of the things that pretty much gives us a good idea that Jesus was born around the end of December, beginning of January, because Zacharias would have completed his service in the temple and gone home back to be with his wife Elizabeth during about the middle to the end of October. And you recall Zacharias in the temple was visited by an angel that promised that after he went back to his wife shortly after, that they would be blessed with a son. And so when Zacharias left the temple, went back home, his wife conceived shortly thereafter. And then, of course, John the Baptist, who was conceived probably around the end of October, well, by the time you add 9 months, of course, to that, and then you consider that Mary was told that she would be with child of the Holy Spirit, and in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, she came, Gabriel appeared to Mary to announce the birth of Christ, and so this would put it up around the end of March. Well, okay, if we're around the end of March and Gabriel tells Mary that she's going to be the mother of the Messiah, in March, add 9 months to that, what do you get? That brings you to the end of the year, doesn't it? So there's a very good reason to believe that Jesus was born around the end of December as a result of the timing of when Zacharias served in the temple and when John the Baptist was conceived and how far along his mother Elizabeth was when Gabriel spoke to Mary to tell her that she was going to conceive a child. And so you work out all the math on that, comes out pretty close to December 25th. So I think that's a good indication right there. We'll talk about some more of that, and we're going to get to another caller here, and of course you can call in at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673, and we've got Judy calling in here tonight. And Judy, welcome to the program tonight.
Hi, Pastor. The how I look at Christmas is, wait and see what you think.
Sure.
I see that Jesus is God. Emmanuel means God with us. And he never had a beginning or end.
That's right.
But the flesh did. And he only told us to remember his death.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel the only way I can remember his birth is accepting his gift into my life.
Mm-hmm.
And that I can serve him every day and witness for him every day. And so I have, I don't commercialize Christmas at all, but I do use it in many different ways, like any other holiday. But I also use the word, when somebody says Merry Christmas, I'll say Maranatha, and they'll say, what's that mean?
I'll tell them
that Jesus is coming again, and I get a chance to witness to them all over during this season, too, as I always do anyhow. But I look at Jesus that many times we have those sceneries up there, like this was his beginning of his time in his life, but it's just his flesh, which is very important.
Oh, absolutely.
Told us to remember his death. He never said to remember his birth. Only we can only do that through the accepting his gift into our life. So that's how I do it.
Yeah, you know, I have to compliment you on coming up with that saying, Maranatha. Mm-hmm. I had never thought of that before. I hadn't heard that before, but that's really good, because what you've accomplished with that, from what it sounds like what you're saying, is you get people's attention, and you're able to use this season as an opportunity to share the gospel with people. And, you know, a good verse that, or passage that talks about what you were saying, too, is when we look in Hebrews chapter 4, two here. I like this right here, because this comes on the heels, and I guess I should back up here to Hebrews chapter 1, where it talks about how the things that Jesus had done, and with the time, I don't have time to read through all of that, but when We come down into Hebrews chapter 1, verse 5. It says, "For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee, and again I will be unto him a father, and he shall be to me a son." Verse 6, "And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, And let all the angels of God worship him." And it goes on to talk about in verse 8, where he says, "But unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever." And so there's what you were talking about, mm-hmm. about he only began in the world with the birth, and but he didn't begin there. He always existed. Mm-hmm. And later in chapter 2 and verse number 9, it talks about the miracle of the incarnation in some amazing language, where he says in verse 9, "But we see Jesus, who is made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God," and here's what you were talking about, "should taste death for every man." Mm-hmm. And, you know, so what a tremendous opportunity, mm-hmm. when you think about the birth of Christ, to tell us that this baby came into the world not just to be born, mm-hmm. but to die.
Yeah.
And
I feel bad, because a lot of times, so the way when they say happy birthday, like, mm-hmm. he had a beginning, you know, and they sing happy birthday, but he's not like a human being. He's God divine in flesh, and it's wonderful and really, mm-hmm. amazing. But
yes.
I try to use this time of the year like that, and I get so excited because people, the doors are all wide open around now.
And that's what I was trying to express earlier to our other caller. It's just such, mm-hmm. a tremendous time of year. People are interested.
Mm-hmm.
Other types of year, they don't want to hear about this, but at, mm-hmm. this time of year, they're open to it.
Yeah.
And we need to take the opportunities that God gives us to be a witness and to be able to share Christ with them. Because really, if you think about it, the greatest gift, and you've probably heard this before, the greatest gift ever given is Christ.
I know.
The
and
salvation
when we accept
that he offers.
That into our life. And actually, they gave gift to him. They didn't give gifts to everybody else. But another thing is that I always say, you know, that this commercial stuff, but sometimes, like, you give me and I give you, and then I give it back the next day because it don't fit,
yes.
me or don't look right, then I go and get it on sale.
Yeah, or we get caught up in the, you gave me this, I've got to do better and give you something more spectacular, and then you go back and forth, and people spend themselves into oblivion.
Yeah, or else I feel bad because I didn't get what I thought I could get.
But in reality, the best thing that we can get is a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, our Creator.
And also, that verse real quick comes to me. It says, mm-hmm. to give to those that can't give back to you.
Yeah, with no thought of getting anything.
Yeah.
That's far better. That's the heart of that's the charity.
Yeah.
A great word that's used in the King James Version of the Bible that, unfortunately, modern translations take charity and change it just into love. And, mm-hmm. charity is a form of love, but charity tells us that charity is a form of love that wants to give to the needs of others.
Mm-hmm.
It's the kind of love that expresses itself in reaching out and helping those in need and providing things to help them. And, mm-hmm. and that's what the heart of charity is. It's the love that you have for others, not expecting anything in return.
No, but we do. We
just wanting to give.
Yeah. Well, thank you for your time.
Well, thank you. I appreciate your call tonight.
You're
I
welcome.
Have to remember that too. When somebody
Maranatha.
Says Merry Christmas, say Maranatha to get their attention.
Yeah, it's in 1 Corinthians 16:22.
All right. Well, I appreciate that, and we're out of time here tonight as well. And thank you for calling. Thank you to all of our listeners and callers tonight. And let me encourage you to visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. And join us again next week. We'll have a look at some more, looking at the idea of things that we do at Christmas time. Tentatively, I'm hoping next Sunday night to deal with the question of, should we have a Christmas tree in the house? Is that idol worship? Bringing in the tree, and there's a passage in Jeremiah chapter 10. We'll analyze that, see what it's actually saying. It might surprise you. Join us again next week. Thanks. God bless. Take care.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. and every Friday night at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Tune in every week for Late Night Live with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 o'clock on this station. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.